That's a term coined by my sister, who is going to be watching this eclipse from her home in South Carolina, which is in the path of totality. And she says she's now becoming a coronaphile. That means that we've learned about eclipses and we're really excited about what's coming up. I'm Dave DeBryan. I am curator emeritus of the Grand Rapids Public Museum's Roger B. Chaffee Planetarium. I'm also in my last term as president of the Grand Rapids Amateur Astronomical Association, and I am anxiously looking forward to August 21st.
So as a coronaphile, this goes back to your childhood.
It does. It really does. I got interested in astronomy when I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and right from the start, I read about how a total eclipse of the sun was sort of the ultimate astronomical phenomenon. This was one of the greatest shows in all of nature, and it's caused when the moon comes into direct alignment in front of the sun. It's kind of interesting that the moon, which is 400 times smaller than the sun, is also 400 times closer. So it means that the disk of the moon and the disk of the sun, as seen from the Earth, are nearly the same size, and only rarely does the moon line up in such a way that it can blot out the entire disk of the sun. And when that happens, it's only along this very, very narrow pathway, about 70 miles wide, that will sweep from west to east.
How long have you been waiting for this event?
Since I was probably a junior in college when I took an astronomy course and was studying eclipse paths, because these things can be predicted with a great deal of accuracy thousands of years into the future. Or we can look back thousands of years into the past and see when eclipses occurred and where they were visible from. So I remember very clearly looking at paths of upcoming eclipses and seeing one for August 2017 that would pass right through the middle of the United States, and then wondering, will you still be alive in 2017? Well, here I am.
Here you are. About
age 76 and very much anticipating it.
There's a history of these great events. When was the last one in the United States, and how have things changed since then?
Interestingly, the last so-called great eclipse, one that swept across 11 or 12 states, right through the middle of the country, goes all the way back to 2018. That's the last time we've had an eclipse that covers this much territory. And think of how things have changed. The rapid changes in communication, the explosion in transportation, population increased dramatically, growth of cities. So in nearly a century, there's been this dramatic change in the number of people along the eclipse path. There's a prediction that this will be the most widely observed eclipse in history. And I think the buildup and the increasing hype suggests that that will happen.
Who will be joining you, and what location? Where will you be to view this?
A number of my colleagues from the planetarium and also friends from the Astronomy Association, and actually some friends from all over the country who are just using this as an opportunity for us all to have a big reunion. We're going to have a big clam bake out on the Nebraska prairie. In fact, it probably will be hot enough to bake clams out there, I understand, in August. We're going to be near a little town called Fairmont, which will be right on the center line of the eclipse. For any listeners who are thinking of going yet, and if you can find accommodations and a way to get there, you want to be as near to the center of that eclipse path as possible in order to enjoy the maximum amount of total eclipse, which is not going to be very, very long in duration, at most a little bit more than 2.5 minutes. But it will be, I assure you, the most memorable 2.5 minutes you have experienced.
What will make it memorable?
Well, here's what happens. When the moon comes directly in line with the sun, the entire brilliant solar disk is occulted. So around the edge of the disk is this pearly white halo, superheated gases in the atmosphere of the sun. It's a very subtle glow that's just completely washed out when the sun is even partially exposed. So you won't see this during the partial eclipse that visible here in Grand Rapids, but only when it's totally eclipsed does the pearly halo appear, the corona, as we call it. And it's there are magnetic lines of force that cause it to have a very, very interesting structure. There are waves and ripples that just add to the beauty of the whole thing. And close to the edge of the sun, there are little eruptions called prominences that actually can be seen with the naked eye. Together with the brighter stars and planets, there'll be two bright planets, Venus and Jupiter, that'll be dominant in the sky, not far from the eclipsed sun. And some of the brighter stars and constellations will appear. It'll be a deep twilight, about like you would experience a half hour to 45 minutes after the sun goes down. But this twilight will go all around the horizon. All around the horizon, there'll be this glow. You know, I can describe this with enthusiasm because I've seen five of them, and every single one of them has been different in some way or another. But all have had certain things in common, too, and one of them was this magnificent glow that will light up any clouds that are out near the horizon. Because remember, the shadow is only about 70 miles wide, so 35 or 40 miles in either direction, you're outside the shadow and the sun is still shining. But you're under it.
What can scientists learn from this event? And I ask that because now we have, you know, these great telescopes that are orbiting our planet that can look well into the universe, into the darkness of space. So we have all of this technology at our fingertips. Is there something special in this event that scientists can
absolutely
draw from?
Absolutely. First of all of that expensive equipment that we have up in space and on the Earth, ground-based, can't see the corona. It's too dim. You have to have this natural occulting device, namely the moon, getting right in front of the sun so that scientists can study the structure of that outer atmosphere of the sun, which contains some of the hottest gases you'll find anywhere in nature. It's really, really a ultra-heated environment. Also, we test the theory of relativity because a bending of starlight occurs in the presence of a gravitational field. And the sun exerts an incredibly strong gravitational field. In fact, I think it was the eclipse of 1918 or somewhere in there where one of Einstein's theories was proven by making observations during a total eclipse. It's such a special set of circumstances that it is also possible then to learn things that you can't learn in any other situation. And an eclipse. Scientists from all over the world are coming to our shores. A lot of them will be set up out in Wyoming and in the desert regions of Idaho, where chances for clear weather are the highest, and also where they will have the least amount of water vapor in the atmosphere so that the scientific instruments will be most effective. But these plans have been in the works for a decade or more. I will be using a pair of binoculars and the $2 eclipse glasses that we sell at the public museum. And we've got a hopefully big supply still waiting to be sold because I'm going to just enjoy this. And I'm telling a lot of my friends to just enjoy it. I've gone to eclipses where I spent a lot of time doing photography. However, I now have younger colleagues with all this fancy modern equipment that they understand and I do not. And I can get copies of their pictures because I invited them on my expedition. And also, the event is so fleeting that unless you really have some strong scientific interest in it, it's best to just sit back and enjoy the unique spectacle. So I won't be doing a whole lot. I'm pretty much semi-retired from that stuff. I remember my first eclipse up there in Canada. When I was a student, we were conducting an experiment for the University of Michigan. And the prof who sent us off, we were grad students, so he sent us off to gather all this data at the eclipse while he sat back in his office. Well, here we are watching this magnificent phenomenon unfold, trying to take these pictures and not being able to concentrate because of the drama of what was happening. And I kicked the tripod and messed up the experiment totally. And I promised myself I was never going to do experiments again during a total eclipse. So far, I've been true to that promise.
Because these are such unique events.
Right.
Here in Michigan, should we be blessed with a clear...
Good chance of that in August. That's a time of the year when eclipses... Well, let me put it this way. This is a time of the year when favorable weather for an eclipse will occur. It's a good time of the year, basically. I think we have probably 80% chance or better of at least partially clear skies on that day based on climate statistics. As my friends who are in the meteorology field are quick to advise, climate is what you expect. Weather is what you get. So you can't be sure, totally sure what's going to be true that day, but prospect's pretty good. 85% eclipse. You'll need to wear your glasses at all times because even with just a tiny crescent of the sun still visible, there's a potential for eye damage. If you're fortunate enough to be in the path of totality, be sure to take those glasses off as soon as totality comes because you need no protection at all for the total part of the eclipse. You're only getting about as much light as the full moon gives. It's perfectly safe.
So here in Michigan, use the eclipse glasses, and mm-hmm. binoculars are okay as long as you have glasses?
Well, they got to have filters over them. Yeah, you'll have to have appropriate filters over them, as I will when I go out to Nebraska. But a modest optical aid is all you need. And for the partial phases, even that isn't going to do much more than show you the large disk of the sun, a larger disk of a partially obscured sun. So it's really naked eye event for all intents and purposes.
But have the glasses. Have the eclipse glasses.
I think they're only $2 at the museum. Real deal. The partial eclipse here, I think, peaks at about 2:20 in the afternoon. The Chaffee Planetarium has a wonderful sky show going. The moon and eclipses are lunar phases and eclipses, something to that effect. And that show... runs twice daily now, I understand. A great way to get an introduction to what is causing the event, why this alignment is so rare, why you need to be in this very restricted pathway. There's a wonderful portrayal of that pathway and a graphic of the shadow sweeping across the United States during the eclipse, plus the fact that you can ask questions after of the presenter who will have important information to give you.